You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday morning to you. Hope your morning's going all right. Hope you had a good night. I had, like, any way you slice it, I had a crazy night. Yeah, I've been having trouble sleeping, right? So I go to bed, I wake up at like 2, and I'm somewhere between 2 and 3. And I'm awake for a couple hours. Yeah. And so anyway, so in an effort to alleviate that last night, I stayed up later, probably after 10:30. And I'm watching the Yankee game for the second time, which I was enjoying. And so I fall asleep at, I don't know what time, 2:30 in the morning. So Colleen and Patrick are here. So Patrick or Jack, one dog, was with them. And then, so when I went to go to bed, the monitors were still active in my studio, which is next to that bedroom. It gives off light. So I looked around, I'm like, well, Joe must be with them too. The other dog closed the door so the light wouldn't bother them as they sleep, being a good father, responsible father. So go to bed, watch a little bit more of the Yankee game, and fall asleep. Okay, now mind you, I have tinnitus, and I've lost substantial hearing in my ears. Like, I'm the guy that goes to the hearing test that everybody takes. Because, see, you guys take the one everybody takes, right? And the tech comes over, right? Are your things in your ears right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, we started the test. I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't hear anything. And he's just like, oh, all right. Yeah. So I'm at least 45 feet away from the studio. My two children, they're not really children, but my two offspring, they're like a wall away. Right. Now, Joe as an animal is a combination of stupid and enthusiastic. So Joe, unbeknownst to me, is still in the studio when I close the door. Do you think he barks or anything like that? Oh, no. He proceeds for probably close to 3 hours to annihilate the studio. Every piece of garbage is annihilated. And because I told you that Joe has species identity crisis, yeah, he doesn't really know what type of animal he is. He thinks he's a beaver. So what does he do? He chews through the internet router cable. Yeah. So he thinks that's a good idea. So at approximately 2:34, I hear this noise. It sounds like a dog, like, digging on the carpet. And I hear some other noise, and I'm like, what is that? I get up. I open the door. Now, Joe knows he'll get his ass beat, right? So I open the door. I see the studio is look like it's been hurricaned. And the cable's been cut, which means All Marine Radio is off the air. And he takes off like a rocket because he knows I threatened to take him to the pound or at least out back and kill him. He knows that, like, he's living the last minutes of his life. But I know that it's my fault because I locked him in here. So Joe's now hiding someplace in the house, and I'm marveling at my kids can sleep through it, and a deaf man is awakened by it. Like, are you kidding me? So I'm picking up garbage, and I know I've got another long, long cable because the router is out in another room, and I actually run a cable through the house so I don't have to deal with Wi-Fi between the router and between the router and between my computer, because the bedroom is in the back. Where it comes into the house is in the front. Anyway, so I run a cable. So anyway, I have another long one. It's blue, not white, but it'll do in a pinch. So I hook it up, plug it in, and it's all right. Now I figure, okay, Patrick's going to get up early before I get up, and he's going to walk out, and he's going to trip, or he's going to take the cable. He's not going to know it's there. I'm not going to wake him up. So now I've got to secure the cable. I got to do a little cable management. So get the duct tape out, right? If you can't duck it, fuck it. So I get the duct tape out, and I pull the cable tight, make sure it's good to go in different places, tape it down in front of the door where Patrick walks out of. Now we're through on that, right? Run into the bedroom, tape it down again at the entrance of the bedroom. So that's good. So now Joe's still hiding. So now I'm like done. Now I get to go to sleep again, right? Wrong. Now the second part of my life that's changed here recently, and this is within the last month, is I now either began dreaming or I now remember my dreams. I don't know which one. Okay? So if one of you is a dream specialist, you can let me know. So now I remember my dreams. So I lay in bed for 2 hours or so, and then I fall asleep at around, I don't know what time, 4:30. Yeah, just in time for the 5:30 alarm. So anyway, so I'm dreaming that I'm with Catherine, Colleen, my wife Susan, and we're, I don't know, landscape-wise, we're in some place where there's tall buildings. So, I don't know, Long Beach, maybe, San Diego, kind of sort of downtown-ish. And major earthquake hits, and buildings start swaying. Like, I'm in the middle of that movie that The Rock was in, Earthquake. Is that what they called that thing? San Andreas? San Andreas, I think they called it. So, buildings are falling. So, you got to get to open space, right? Boom, I'm on it. So, I've got somebody by the hand. And we take off running. We get around the corner. Okay, we get around the corner. And I stop and I look back. And it's my grandmother. My maternal grandmother, Margaret, who is the nicest woman in the world. But behind Margaret, there's nobody there. There's nobody there. And she didn't tell me. And I turn around. I see my grandmother. And now I'm pissed. Like, where's Catherine, Colleen? Where's Susan? Right? This is my dream, right? So I look at my grandmother, and I grab her by her collar, right? Both my hands on either side of the front of her collar, and I yoke her ass up to me, and I said, "What the hell happened?" And she's like, "Michael, I don't know." I said, "The next time that you let go of anybody's hand and you don't tell me, I'm going to snap you in two." To my grandmother, for God's sakes. So then around the corner, here come the other three of them. So we established the connecting file. Grandma's now, she's on notice, all right? So her shit's unscrewed. And it was awful. So now we're like, and we're under this maze of overpasses, and they're crumbling like sand. And we finally get down to near a river, some kind of riverbed or something, and in open skies, and I don't know. I woke up at that point. So, yeah, all in one night. My grandmother, yeah, I yoked her ass up like it was nothing. Come here. So, anyway. My evening, but the Yankees did annihilate the Minnesota Twins last night. I know, I'm still marveling that I yoked. I'm still, two things. My kids are a wall away from a dog losing his mind, right? In the middle of species identity crisis, and they don't hear anything, or they, more likely, they heard something. Right? And they just like rolled over and said, "I'm not going to go check that out." And deaf man in the other side of the house hears it? Are you kidding me? And then I'm marveling that I yoked up my grandmother and didn't even think twice. Didn't even think twice about yoking her up. So anyway, yeah, the Yankees. Let me tell you the cool part about the Yankees. The Yankees normally are the evil empire because they're an old baseball team. So you watch them, and guys who, you know, free agent guys get signed. They have young, their oldest guy in the lineup two nights ago was 27, and they're good, and they're young, and they just got younger, and it's awesome. It's awesome. So anyway, but I am excited today, and I gotta get Montana, see if Montana Man can come on. One of the things I try to do on All Marine Radio is introduce everybody to maybe parts of conflicts that they don't know about. And there is a story, if you go to the All Marine Radio website, yeah, there's a new tag on that. There's a new section, and it's called Blog. So it's Listen Live, Podcast, Blog, Battlefield Studies, the Read Board, okay? The Read Board is, in fact, there's. So I'll talk about what's there today. But anyway, if you go to the blog page, I just did this last night because Montana Man sent me a picture of his dip cap. Yeah, I think that's what you call it. Actually, it's pretty cool. And so I thought you'd get a kick out of seeing it. So there's a picture of Montana Man's dip cap, and there's also a picture of snow in Montana yesterday. So if you go to the blog page and you click on that, yeah, you'll see both his dip cap and the landscape in Montana. That's not a little bit of snow they got in Montana yesterday. They got more than I don't know how many inches. That's like 3 or 4 inches of snow. That's serious stuff. Anyway, hopefully it'll warm up today. We'll check the temperature in a minute. So then Mr. Potato Head, Gunner, he sends his dip cap. Yeah. So his is more tactical. Yeah. Gunner's is more tactical. So anyway, why do you need a tactical dip cup? Right? Because let me tell you, if the bad guys can see your dip cup, you've got a different problem than you've got a shiny dip container. Okay? Yeah. when you teach lieutenants buy every cool piece of gear that you could possibly imagine. So there was a day like when they would have these, like some guys, I don't know if they still have them, I'm sure they do, but on your watch band's kind of a piece of like green fabric, and then you have this this piece of Velcro green tactical fabric that covers your watch. And so when they look at it, you hear this, they look at it, and then they shut it. Like, yo, why do you have that? Well, you know, there's luminous stuff on my watch. And like, yo, if the bad guys can see the luminous stuff on your watch, you've got a different problem than your watch. You're about to have sex with them, okay? So, yeah. Anyway, so I figured you'd like, so that's the blog thing. I don't want to do like a full on post, and I don't want that stuff. I don't want to put that stuff on the podcast page. But I figured you'd be interested in seeing that kind of trivial, mundane stuff that we talk about on the programs. So I threw it up under blog. But that's not what I'm excited about today. And the thing I'm excited about today and what I want Montana Man to come on and talk about is there's an article started in the New York Times yesterday, and I posted on the Read Board. Yeah, the Read Board. Everybody got a Read Board. Every unit has a Read Board, right? Did you read it? It was on the Read Board. Hello? No, sir, I didn't. All right. Why do you think we have the Read Board? And why do you think we call it the Read Board? Oh, that's because we want you to read it. Oh, damn, sir. Didn't know that. So, anyway, yeah. So, on the Read Board, it's entitled Whole Again. A vet maimed by an IED receives a transplanted penis. Okay, now... And the reason Montana Man is significant to this is one of Montana Man's job after we would medevac somebody was either he, the CO at the time, Colonel Dave Furness, or the Sergeant Major. And if normally one of those three was on deck for this very reason. They, when we would medevac somebody, they would be there when that Marine showed up. Right? And they'd just be doing a little bit of hand-holding and hanging out. And so anyway, some of the stuff that you deal with is, to say the least, unpleasant. And one of those events is, you know, when somebody has their genitals blown off. And the story is awful. But I'll tell you because it's significant to this story and why, it made my heart happy when I saw this yesterday. And happy is not even the right word. Okay. Clearing in the 11 Bravo block of Marja, which was the southeast corner of Marja. And there was supposed to be bad guys down there, but like was always the case, whenever, you know, we kind of got after something, they ran away. So, you know, the 11 Bravo block is going to be a big deal, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, IEDs. Where do they place IEDs? Normally right in front of the doorway of a compound. So what do? We have compact metal detectors, and, you know, we're sweeping those doorways. This fire team doesn't sweep the doorway. The damn IED is right there. It blows up, right? And in addition to take one of his legs, he reaches down and he can't find his genitals. And so he's yelling at the doc, you know, and the doc is making excuses. I'm not sure. And then so he checks him again and he can't find him and he's bleeding and it's a mess. And he looks and he's looking at his friends and he's saying, hey, my junk's gone, shoot me. We talked about this. Right? And so Marines, you know, as they will, when you're confronted with the maiming of people, you know, they'll make these deals. You know, hey, if this ever happens to me, you have to kill me. All right? And they in their ignorance, and I say that in the literal sense, not in any kind of figure, but they just don't know because they've never been faced with that situation. They all agree to that. Yeah, no problem, man. As long as you'll do the same thing for me. Yeah, no problem. Well, now he's screaming at them to kill him. Kill me, man. You said you would. Kill me. My junk's gone. I'm not. I can't live like this. Kill me. And now you have his friends down there going, hey, man, be cool. And he's like, and he's screaming at him. No. Hand me my rifle. Doc, hand me my rifle. I'll blow my own brains out. And they won't give him his rifle. And you can imagine the horrific scene, right? The horrific scene as a 20-year-old young man loses general. And how shaken everybody is when he's finally put on that medevac. And not only have you seen him wounded, but you've seen him begging for you to kill him or to help him kill himself. And not screaming at you, calling you names because you won't help. Like, how do you process that? So the receiving end of that would have been Montana Man, which is probably a good reason that he's up in Montana today. Nah, he's that kind of guy. But so I wanted to have him on just to talk about that. I don't know if I'll be able to track him down today. I don't know what's going on in Montana. But the story in the New York Times is an awesome story. God bless the doctors and everybody who had a part in this kind of medical, first of all, research, experimentation, whatever they had to do. Because when you read his words, I feel whole again. It stops you. And so he asked not to be identified, so I have no idea if it is the Marine that we dealt with. So yesterday after reading that, I was like happy. I was like happy man. Yeah, I didn't even beat Joe's ass. That was part of the reason Joe, and Joe today is like the happiest dog in the world. He's on that post near death euphoria. Yeah, that's a Joe. He's like running around the house. He's happy, right? Only giving me one treat. Not a problem, man. I'll go outside, run around for a few minutes. So, yeah, he's like, I'm still alive, man. I am still alive. I thought when I annihilated the All Marine Radio Studio in the middle of the night, I was deader than a door. I was deader than a doornail. So, anyway, yeah. So, yeah, if you want to check out that story, just go to the read board. And there's a link that says click here. Yeah. You want to know why I put that link? So everybody can figure it the hell out. So it's an awesome story. Anyway, we'll see if I can track Montana Man down and get him to come on because that's rough stuff. That is rough stuff. And so, as I said, a great story. And the other thing, what's great about it is hopefully that will be the first of many, many, because one of the things that happen when you see young veterans with very, very high amputations, a lot of times their genitals are involved in that. And so what this means to them is hopefully to feel whole again, to quote the story. And that's this is not something that you probably hear spoken about when we talk. I don't know that I've ever spoken about it here on the radio, but it's one of those things that you go through. And at night, you know, when you lay down, it's like you take your pillow and you just put it over your head and you just like make it stop, man. Make it stop. And I will say this too. I tell the story about Colleen on the 405 one day asking me if you feel bad when you kill guys. And me saying no. It's like going to the water park. The anger that comes with that, the desire as you grit your teeth and you wanna pay somebody back, it's real. That's real, right? And so you want us to give a shit when somebody urinates on a dead body? we do give a shit because we're leaders and we know that's not the way we do it. And we know that when you go down that road, that it erodes discipline in combat and you can't have that. But to give a shit that Marines urinated on those guys after the stuff that you see, it not so much, right? I give a shit for other reasons, but it has nothing to do with them. Absolutely, positively nothing. Because the hate that you feel is pure. Pure. So when I talk about my black blood and people talk about their black blood, that's the blood of hate. That is the purest high. And it's stoked by these kind of things. 20 years old, right? And those kind of things. So, but... this one has a good ending, and hopefully it bodes well for other soldiers, Marines, sailors, if it happened to them, corpsmen, and airmen that are in the same situation. So very cool. Tom Drought is going to join us. We're going to get his thoughts. He's a little bit of a Middle East guy. So we're going to talk a little bit about Syria with him and today. And then, the gifted one will join us. We're going to talk. I think we're talking about guns today. I've got an email that I got. Oh, Luke hasn't sent me his email about the malfunctions of the weapon. So, anyway, yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to the people of Toronto. You know, what's quizzical is that this event would be such a copycat incident, and Canadian officials late yesterday saying it appears to have no connection to terrorism, because I think the other shoe that we were waiting for to drop was certainly that it did. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this. Is this just another crazy, you know, is this just another crazy person, you know? So thoughts and prayers go out to the people of Toronto. Just senseless, stupid nonsense. Anyway, good morning to you, here on a Tuesday morning. Gonna be a good show today. And then, battlefield study tomorrow with Duffy White, Colonel type, United States Marine Corps led 1st Light Armored Infantry Battalion. Or is it 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion? I can never remember. Up in the march up. And not only the march up, but then they got told, hey, go to Tikrit, General Kelly, Brigadier General type, took a task force of, I think, all three light armored reconnaissance battalions, formed a provisional light armored reconnaissance regiment, and up they went. I think, I'm not sure, if all three. I know 1st and 2nd were certainly involved in it. So we're going to talk about that with Duffy White, and you'll hear that tomorrow on Battlefield Studies. The... email. Mac, what tab? If you want, yeah, the blog tab will have pictures of just stuff that I'll post. And yeah, if you want to see a couple of dip caps, go to the blog page. You'll see them. But the article about the veteran who received transplanted penis and testicles is on the read board. So just go to the read board and check it out. So with that said, the United States Marine Corps band makes the morning official. Good morning to you. We'll be right back. And this is dedicated to the people of Toronto today. I don't often dedicate it to people of another nation, but certainly dedicated to them. And also the surgeons and the researchers at Johns Hopkins who did such a pioneering piece of medical research and surgical work recently. So God bless them. You know, some people never stop paying for the wars that we fight. And I don't mean with a checkbook either. I mean with their life. So God bless all these medical people for giving somebody some sense of normalcy, even if it isn't normal like the rest of us would know it. So God bless them. And this is dedicated to them.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Raining in 58 in Quantico. Raining in 62 at Camp Lejeune. Camp Lejeune has 6 weather warnings in effect. I'm all about weather warnings. I'm not sure why, but I like them. I want to know about them. But 6 of them? All right, we have a flood advisory at Camp Lejeune. We have a gale warning. We have beach hazard statement. High surf advisory. Coastal flood advisory, all in effect. So, yeah. Yeah, they got big storms at Camp Lejeune. Looking for thunderstorms and 71 today. Heavy rain in the forecast. showers and thunderstorms after that. Winds out of the southeast at 15 to 25. Chance of rain 100%. 1 to 2 inches of rain is expected. Wind occasionally gusting over 40 miles an hour. So if you're in the Camp Lejeune area, pay attention to the weather. Get your NOAA weather radio out, or make sure your zip code's put into your weather application and that you get weather alerts. Yeah. People that live in severe weather country, they understand that. All right, Granbury, Texas, partly sunny, 67. Big Timber, Montana, sun and 33. I got an email from North Dakota. Hey, Mac, a friend of mine lives in Montana. It was 75 there yesterday. And they got, yeah, Montana man sent me the same one. It was 70 and beautiful yesterday. And then check out the picture Montana man posted. Just go to the blog and you'll see it. If you click on the entry, you'll see his custom dip cap. That's pretty sweet. I wonder if his wife was in the doghouse when she got that, or if she's just a nice human being. See, a guy would only get that kind of a gift to get out of trouble. A woman, more thoughtful, probably just did it because she's a nice person. Anyway, her stock went through the roof on that deal. Trust me. The let's see. 33 in Big Timber, in 29 Palms, sunny and 71, so heating up out in the California desert. Camp Pendleton, fog and 53. Okinawa, warming up a little bit more. Dark, cloudy, and 70 degrees in Marja. They're about the same as yesterday. Clear, dark, 89 degrees. What's the forecast for the Helmand Province of Afghanistan? In the central part, which is where Helmand is. Right now, dark, clear, 89 degrees. The wind chill factor, 89. Just for all you people that are into wind chill factors. Wow. Tomorrow, only a high of 97. On Thursday, high of 95. So, that's very much like 29 Palms, Afghanistan. It might be 120, but it's a dry 120. Yeah. There's a difference. The currently at the home of All Marine Radio, it is 55 degrees under cloudy skies, looking for a high of 69 with partly cloudy skies, 68 tomorrow, 67 on Thursday. That's right. Winds are out of the east at 1 mile an hour right now. Not right. So that means there's not much wind. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will check news headlines. President Macron, my favorite foreign leader, he is in Washington, D.C. He and his wife and President Trump and Melania are big state dinner, I guess, at Mount Vernon. How about that? Never heard of that before. But that's where they're doing their little soiree or did their soiree or something like that. Now, but they are very stylish people. So President Macron urging the president not to back out of the Iran agreement. The president is on record as saying it's a terrible agreement for the United States. And you have most of the European leaders defending it, saying it's not. So we'll see what the president does. But the cherry on top today is Iran, right? Less than 48 hours after they said they would annihilate Israel in 25 years, I'll get the number right, they told the United States there'll be dire consequences if you back out of that. You know what? Just to let the Iranians know, we should just sink their whole navy. Like, newsflash to everybody, Iran does not have a navy any longer. It's all done. And all the infrastructure at their port of entry for oil, that's destroyed too. Okay. Now, would you like to make any other statement? And what are the Iranians going to do about it? Nothing. You want to know why they can't? They wouldn't do anything because they can't do anything. Because if Russia's a B team event, what is Iran? C minus D? Clowns. And you know what? When you act like a clown, you should be treated like a clown, right? Gunner's line. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. All right. Now, we're going to take a break. I want to talk more, a little bit more about this procedure that happened at Johns Hopkins. We'll check a few news headlines. Tom Drowdy will join us at the top of the hour. More of All Marine Radio on a Tuesday coming up next. Ooh.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. I'm happy today. I love this story. And I love it because I don't know if I even thought it was in the realm of things that would be possible. You know, to transplant somebody's genitals. You know, when you get into transplanting, you know, things involving the nervous system and all that, I'm no doctor, but That's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Okay. So, I'm happy.
No offense to you, don't waste your time. Here's why. Because I'm happy. Come along.
And I can, and I just want, you know, when you do that for multiple years and you're involved in killing and medevacking and all that, I mean, you get pretty callous to a lot of stuff. I mean, not that it doesn't stick to you, but I mean, it's a coping mechanism, right? But there's some things that, you know, that, like I said, you take your pillow at the end of the night and you put it over your head and just say, make it stop, man. Make it stop. The story in the New York Times, the headline is Whole Again. A vet maimed by an IED receives a transplanted penis. It's written by Denise Grady. And I'll read you a little bit of it. In a 14-hour operation, a young military veteran whose genitals were blown off by a bomb received an extraordinary transplant, a penis scrotum and a portion of the abdominal wall taken from a deceased organ donor. The surgery performed last month at Johns Hopkins Hospital was the most complex and extensive penis transplant to date and the first performed on a combat veteran maimed by a blast. Two other successful penis transplants have been performed in South Africa in 2014 and at Massachusetts General in 2016, but they involved only the organ itself, not the scrotum or the surrounding flesh. The latest operation transplanted a single piece of tissue that weighed 4 or 5 pounds. This is an evolving branch of medicine spurned in large part by the wounds of war, particularly the blast injuries from IEDs. The medical teams in Baltimore and Boston have spent years preparing for the surgery, practicing on cadavers and refining their techniques. The patient at Johns Hopkins is just one of many soldiers whose lives were shattered in a split second when they stepped on an IED in Iraq or Afghanistan. He lost both legs above the knee, but the genital damage was even more devastating for him. Quote, "That injury, I felt like it banished me from a relationship," he said in an interview last week. "Like, that's it, you're done. You're by yourself for the rest of your life. I struggled with even viewing myself as a man for a long time. But now, 4 weeks after the surgery," he said, "I feel whole again." He asked that his name not be published because the stigma associated with genital injuries. Except for his immediate family and a few close friends, he has told no one about the nature of his wounds. Dr. W.P. Andrew Lee, the chairman of plastic and reconstructive surgery at Johns Hopkins, said the goal of this type of transplant is, quote, "to restore a person's sense of identity and manhood. For most men, that means regaining their ability to urinate while standing up and to have sex." Dr. Lee thinks transplantation can make most possible, though healing and nerve regeneration will come in time. Urination is expected first within a few months. Nerves grow from the recipient into the transplant at the rate of about an inch per month. That's amazing. I didn't know that was even possible. We're hopeful he can restore sexual function in terms of spontaneous erection and orgasm, Dr. Lee said. Although the scrotum, that's the first time orgasm's ever been said on this program, by the way. Although the scrotum was transplanted, the donor's testes had been removed for ethical reasons. Keeping them might enable the recipient to father children that belonged genetically to the organ donor, something not considered acceptable by medical guidelines. Wow. Because the recipient's own reproductive tissue was destroyed, he will not be able to have biological children. He takes testosterone to compensate for the loss of his testes and is being treated with another drug, Cialis, to encourage erectile function. How many men might need this type of transplant is not known. Data from the Department of Defense showed that more than 1,300 men sustained so-called genitourinary injuries in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that 31% of those injuries involve the penis. So that would be 300, 400. About 20% of the penile injuries were considered severe. But how many of those warrant a replacement is not clear. Women in the military also suffered genitourinary and reproductive injuries, but they are less common. Anyway, the story is on the website. Just go to the read board and you'll see it. But again, I can. It's almost like out of the depths of an experience that you see something like this, and you can tell I'm moderately excited about it. That for let's just say of the 1,300, 400, let's just say 400 of the 400, there's 200. That need this surgery, and that may that would this surgery would help. I don't think any of us ever thought that something like that would be possible. So, so it's just it's an awesome story. Headlines this morning: the Marine Corps is on track to turn the Osprey into a refueling tanker. Question is, why do we need to do that? Because of the lack of number of C-130s? We can refuel in the air with CH-53s. Marine Corps expects it to be operational by 2019. So it gives us more flexibility. This will significantly enhance range as well as the aircraft's ability to remain on target for a longer period. Overall, the refueler will be a huge force multiplier for both sea-based Marine Corps, MAGTAFs, Marine Air Ground Task Force, and forward deployed expeditionary units. So, anyway, so that in Marine Corps news today. We're also adding Stingers missiles and lasers to our little expeditionary vehicles to give us some kind of aviation top cover now that we're looking at fighting a peer. Number three story is the story that I just mentioned in the New York Times. Number four, the Navajo code talkers in the Marine Corps have been incredible ambassadors in the Marine Corps. And they lost another member of their fraternity yesterday. The Navajo Nation said that Roy Hawthorne died on Saturday. He was 92. Hawthorne enlisted at the Marine Corps at the age of 17 and became part of a famed group of Navajos who transmitted hundreds of messages in their language without air. That code was never broken. And there's a great picture of he with General O'Donohue at Camp Pendleton in September of 2015 when the Navajo Code Talkers were recognized. Anyway, Hawthorne was one of the most visible survivors of the group. He appeared at public events and served as vice president of the group representing them. He never considered himself a hero. He later served in the United States Army. I was wondering about that. Because in the picture, he has the combat infantryman badge on his shirt. So he's wearing, like, his Marine decorations. And World War II guys, I mean, if they came back with two rows of ribbons, that was like, that's a Marine Corps version of Audie Murphy. Okay? They would fight through, you know, they would fight through Guadalcanal, Saipan, and Iwo Jima and come back with, like, three ribbons. This is the Asiatic Pacific ribbon, this is the victory ribbon, and this is my campaign ribbon with two stars. What are the stars for? Well, the ribbon's for Guadalcanal, The one star's from Saipan and the other one's from Okinawa or something like that. Like, oh shit. Yeah, but in the picture, above all of that, he's got a set of jump wings and then a combat infantryman badge. And you're like, wow, I wonder if the Army made him an honorary guy. But no, he later served in the United States Army. He's survived by 5 children and more than a dozen grandchildren. His funeral is scheduled for this Friday. And I would expect the Marine Corps will roll out its pageantry for him. So God bless him. Roy Hawthorne passed away in Window Rock, Arizona at the age of 92. So God bless him and all those code talkers. A unique and really interesting part of Marine Corps history. The couple of other stories. The Senate postponing the confirmation hearing, and it looks like it's done relative to Admiral Ronnie Jackson, who the president nominated to be the head of the VA. Other than the president's trust, you know, I don't know that he's qualified for the job. But that trust is no small deal, right? Anyway, in the vetting process that got him, evidently, to be the nominee, there are some concerns about some things that are from his past. As the confirmation hearing approached, lawmakers on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee grew concerned with reports from former colleagues of Jackson and rumors of potential leadership issues during his military career, according to a source close to the debate. Senators were scheduled to meet on Tuesday to decide whether to go ahead with the Wednesday confirmation hearing, which was expected to include a host of detailed questions from Republicans and Democrats about the department's inner workings and Jackson's reform goals for the massive bureaucracy. But the Washington Post reported yesterday that committee leaders opted to postpone the event even before the Tuesday discussion. Committee officials did not return requests for comments. So, anyway. Not sure what's in his past, but it's evidently coming out. So, and it's enough to make them postpone. The service chiefs and their underlings testifying before Congress said there's no magic. There's no magic bullet for what ails aviation in the United States military. Quote, this is Vice Admiral Paul Grossglags, head of Naval Air Systems Command. That's a big deal. Okay. Nav Air. That's a big deal. Quote, we know we need to do that, which is fix these problems. But again, each one of those mishaps will have a unique cause, and so there is not a universal panacea, if you will, that we can invest money in a certain spot to fix these. And then this is Representative Mike Turner, a Republican from Ohio. Quote, Admiral, I appreciate your dedication to get to the root cause, but I don't buy that. That it's merely just individual incidences. If you have vehicular accidents that occur at a particular intersection repeatedly, they each have their own story. But at times, there is something wrong with the intersection. Well, no. Okay, hold on. When I hear that, here's what I hear booming in my head.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military.
Yeah, so you want to know what the problem is, Mr. Representative, Ms. Representative?
No enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolution.
Yeah, look in the fucking mirror. That's what's wrong with aviation, right? It's inexperience, it's spare parts, it's maintenance, it's the condition of the aircraft. All those will contribute. Each one of these is different, but the root cause, right, it's in your home. It's in your fucking mirror. It's you. You failed to do your job for the American military. What a joke. What an absolute fucking joke, man. This kind of shit pisses me off. One of the service members Turner pointed out that more military service members have died in aircraft mishaps over the past year than in Afghanistan, including a 3.5-week period where 16 service members died. Quote, one of the service members was a constituent of mine, Gunnery Sergeant Derek Hawley, was 33-year-old enlisted Marine who was killed while conducting a training mission in a CH-53 Echo helicopter, a helicopter that had been in service since the 1970s. Well, then fund this shit, jackass. Stop passing continuing resolutions. Fund the Department of Defense so they can replace that shit. What a joke. Honestly. All right, I'm not going to get mad, though. It is what it is. That is Congress. Joining me next is Tom Drowdy, Brigadier General of the United States Marine Corps. Don't touch that dial. We're going to talk about Syria. More of All Marine Radio next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.